But that was when I was exposed to the most extraordinary knowledge, skills, and wisdom that very poor people have in Bharat. And as a result of that, I thought I'd start a barefoot college only for the poor. When you go to village in the least developed countries around the world, what will you see? You will only see old women and young boys and girls because the men have left looking for a job in a city. So who do you have left in the village who can be trained? Choose an illiterate woman between 35 and 45 who's grounded in the village, who doesn't go out, who hasn't been through any school and college, and train them to be solar engineers. They come as grandmothers and go back like tigers. Solar electrify the village in front of every community. And they are in total awe and total scared by these solar mamas. Because now they are change agents. They are global leaders. They are mentors.
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vedya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you organizations that are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful organization employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. Today, it is our privilege and honor to have with us Mr. Bunker Roy, founder of The Barefoot College Thelonia, a community-based grassroots organization. He joins us from Thelonia, Rajasthan. Welcome, Mr. Roy.
Thank you, Vidya.
To give and to serve are very powerful and meaningful actions in a person's life. Often people want to give to make themselves feel better and maybe even feel superior. But even as we give, it must be done thoughtfully and keeping in mind the receiver. You founded The Barefoot College exactly 50 years ago. What was the basic philosophy behind starting The Barefoot College?
When I was in college, I dreamt about starting just a college like that, but I was inspired by John F. Kennedy, who said, "Some men see things as they are and ask why. I dream of things that never were and ask why not."
Awesome.
I left college in 1967, a very prestigious institution called the St. Stephen's College in Delhi University. I got my master's in English. And then I decided on the 1st of November 1967 to be an unskilled laborer digging wells in Rajasthan in the middle of the deserts of Rajasthan to find water.
So how did you pick Rajasthan? Like, you are from Delhi?
Could have been anywhere, but the first job I got was with the Catholic Relief Services, which is a US-based organization, and they asked me to dig 500 wells in Rajasthan. I knew nothing about computers, nothing about rock drills, nothing about blasting, but I picked it up on my own because some people around me helped me. So I became a master digger, and I did 500 wells for them, and that's how I met these extraordinary people who helped me out.
You went to Dune School, you know, where princes and prime ministers and presidents of India went to school. What did your parents have to say about this? You go to Dune, you go to St. Stephen's, another prestigious institute. And what did your parents think about your plans for your future?
My mother went into a coma. She couldn't understand why I was doing this, especially when all the jobs are coming. I was also, incidentally, the national squash champion for 3 years. So that made a big difference on people wanted to give jobs to me. But then I went to this famine in Bihar, which changed my life. That's where I saw hunger and death and starvation for the first time. And that was a side of Bharat which I just hadn't been exposed to.
So this was in 1972?
No, 1965. Between 1965 and 1967. And I got my first job in 1967, but I went to Bihar in 1965. But I had to finish my education, my master's, and then only I could do what I wanted to do.
So you are digging these wells in Rajasthan, which is a beautiful, beautiful state with a lot of palaces and art and crafts and very, very rich culture. But it's primarily a desert land, most of the state.
I wasn't looking at the prince and queens of Rajasthan and Maharaja, but I was digging for water. Water was my only focus. How I would go down by rope in a 100-foot well use a jackhammer to drill holes, put in explosives and come out. And that is what I was doing for 5 years. Just for 500 wells, I dug for water. And this was for the Catholic Relief Services. But that was when I was exposed to the most extraordinary knowledge, skills and wisdom that very poor people have in Bharat. And as a result of that, when I saw this extraordinary knowledge, skill and village wisdom, I thought I'd start a barefoot college only for the poor. So in 1972, I thought I would start a college with a difference.
You are, and your philosophy is in some ways contrarian. Most people go to an area and want to thrust urban, westernized philosophy, education, practices. But when you started Barefoot College, you did exactly the opposite.
Yeah, I remember what His Holiness the Dalai Lama told me when he came to Thelonia in 2011 and he saw everything in Thelonia. And he said something very profound. He said, now that you have shown the Barefoot College working in practice, let's see if the experts and development planners can make it work in theory. We did everything wrong. We did not give any importance to certificates. We did not give any importance to people who came from the cities with master degrees and qualifications. We only identified knowledge, skills, and wisdom from the people who did not ever go to school and college, but they had the compassion, they had the patience, they had the power, they had the vision, they had the curiosity to pick up skills if they were given the opportunity to do so. And that is how the Barefoot College was born.
I must mention, I had the opportunity, my family had the opportunity to visit Barefoot College. It changed our lives. I can say that without exaggeration. We went with our then teenage daughter. What she saw at the Barefoot College changed her vision, her plan, and what she wants to give back to society. And it changed her forever. I'm almost getting goosebumps just thinking about my visit. What are the areas that the Barefoot focuses on? You spoke about water, but we have health, solar power, energy.
Most important thing that we must remember in the Barefoot College is that we have adopted and respected the lifestyle and work style of Mahatma Gandhi. There are some non-negotiables of Gandhi: austerity, simplicity, transparency, accountability, working together. These are the underlying beliefs of the Barefoot College when we first started. And if we can inculcate all these into every person who works in the Barefoot College, then you have an organization which is almost a movement in the college. Only after that, when you have really done the grounding and got the basics correct, then we can move into the area of water, area of solar, area of education, area of livelihoods, area of the environment. But these are areas which are in the lifestyle of every person in Bharat. You don't have to teach them. You know, they respect the soil, they respect water, they respect air, they respect the sun. These are the people we should learn from, how to respect all these. But we don't. And that is the big problem we have. We are trying to reinvent and trying to redefine education. Big, big problem here, because the formal education is not delivering. The formal education is hang up on certificates and degrees, and that does not ensure competence. So all the people we have in the Barefoot College working in area of water, education, the night schools, the solar mamas, all are people who have been born and brought up in the college itself without having been through any degrees and qualifications in universities. And that is the beauty of the college to me today. So I can tell you about specific areas. Which areas would you like to know, which you remember clearly when you came?
What was most impactful is the solar mamas.
Okay.
PBS has created a very beautiful documentary, and I would encourage our listeners to go and try to find that on pbs.org or on YouTube. Let's talk about solar mamas. Who are solar mamas?
When you go to village in the least developed countries around the world, what will you see? You will only see old women and young boys and girls, because the men have left looking for a job in a city. So who do you have left in the village who can be trained And we immediately, it was a simple solution. It was an absolute common sense solution. Choose an illiterate woman between 35 and 45 who's grounded in the village, who doesn't go out, who hasn't been through any school and college, and train them to be solar engineers. I've been to about 60 countries around the world in Africa, most of the African countries. The selection is only done in the front of the whole community. And when I say that I want to choose a woman who is illiterate, who can't read and write, who's 35 and 45 years old, they're all aghast and they think I'm joking. But we have so far had 1,700 women from 96 countries, and all of them have gone back as barefoot women solar engineers. The Prime Minister called them solar mamas, and that is how it is stuck. Today, can you imagine a woman from the middle of the Sahara Desert getting onto the plane for the first time, 19 hours by flight, arrives in Jaipur, is picked up by someone and taken to the college, which is 100 kilometers away. She can't speak her language. She doesn't have the food. She's gone right in the middle of 40 other women just like her from different parts of the world. And they're sitting on one table and being told to be a solar engineer. The only way they could learn is by doing, not by theory, not by physics, not by giving them lectures, just from the very first day, putting their hands onto very sophisticated solar equipment. Within 6 months, they can become a solar engineer, and they know more about solar engineering than any graduate from a 5-year university degree.
How do you pick these women? They are natural leaders in the community. What draws you to these women?
Within half an hour of a meeting in Africa, you can make out which woman you would like to select. But we make sure that the husband is also there because he doesn't suspect anything. He shouldn't suspect anything.
Yeah, true.
So when we choose the woman in front of the whole village, the husband is pressurized to let her go. You know what you look for? Curiosity, guts, someone who can speak out, someone who is not scared of the community, someone who is respected in the community. These are the ones you're looking at, look for. And I haven't been wrong ever with these 79 women. And I'm talking about Africa, I'm talking about South America, Central America, talking about Middle East, I'm talking about the Southeast Asia, and I'm talking about the Pacific. Not one of these women have actually not become a solar engineer. Take 6 months only. Imagine 40 women from different parts of the world, all speaking to each other and not understanding a word because someone is speaking Jola, someone speaking Spanish, someone speaking Swahili, someone speaking French. But the body language is great. And within